The General Services Administration has a new tool to help contracting officers figure out how much they should pay for work. Calc.gov, C-A-L-C.gov, lists pay rates across 8 professional services categories with 48,000 labor categories and at least 5,000 GSA contracts. But the rates on the site are the highest prices you could pay, not the lowest. The 18F Innovation Lab built the tool. Stan Soloway is president and CEO of the Professional Services Council and taking a look at the tool. Stan, thanks for coming on as always. There's certainly a noble purpose in what 18F is working at here. What do you think of what they've got so far, and what do you think of what this bodes for the future? Thanks for being on today, Stan.
It's always a pleasure, Francis. So let's not take any credit away from what they're trying to do in terms of increasing transparency into the schedules. As you said, there are thousands and thousands of contracts involved. And any time you can make it easier for contracting officers to identify what even the published schedule prices are, good for you. I mean, I think that the increased transparency can't hurt, and it can only help. And so I give them a lot of credit for that. I think that when you look at Calc, though, you have to, you put it great in the opening, which is, first of all, it is the published schedule price. This is not the price you necessarily should pay. In fact, if you use it as a true market research tool and are paying the rates under that you see in the Calc tool, you may well be paying too much, because as we all know, anyone who's been involved with the schedules knows that in a competition, schedule rates are almost always discounted. So what you're getting really are the ceiling rates, not the actual rates. The way I put it to folks sometimes is they are fair and reasonable, but it may not be the right price for what you're buying. So there is a real limitation to Calc's value in terms of actually informing decision making. So that's Calc. The big question really is, where are we going with all of this, as you put it? Alexander Pope once said, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. And I think that there can be some great value in the marketplace, both for companies and for the government, if with some good data tools that are used right. And so I, again, give 18F and others who are working on this credit. But I do have some real concern about how we actually discern the right price in a professional services environment, as opposed to if you're buying pencils or real true commodities. Professional services, by and large, are not really commodities. It is about people who are typically not commoditized or shouldn't be, but it's also about a lot of nuances and complexities and so forth. So when I'm looking at the future, and I look at the plan to now build what they are referring to as a prices paid portal, which this is not. This is ceiling prices. The next step would be an actual prices paid. The question really becomes, how do you account for those nuances and those differences? How do you account for how quickly I needed something done, or where the work was actually performed, or if I'm running a professional services firm and I have a program management support contract, the kinds of people I assign to the work will really depend on the maturity of the organization I'm supporting, the complexity of the work being done. So I've, even though on paper I'm providing, say, a systems engineer with 7 years of experience, not all systems engineers with 7 years of experience are equal. And so I may be paying them differently, deploying them differently, depending on my customer's needs. And it's really hard for me to see at this point how the data will capture those really critical nuances. And you don't want to get to a situation where the data over trumps good common sense, good really in-depth market research, and real judgment.
There's two words that jumped out at me at this, and you brought up the prices paid portal concept, and it's the same words that I think of when I think of that. One is context, and the other is annotation. The context issue is what you mentioned a few moments ago in understanding all of the different nuances that go around a particular procurement. And the annotation idea is then how you attach that information to the price data that you've collected so that a CO can look at all of that and say, well, they paid X dollars an hour for this service in this context, but I see here now why that makes sense. And I look at X times 40% higher in this particular context, but because I see the annotation, I understand why they both could be fair and reasonable. Am I on the right track there?
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly that kind of a thing. And in theory, I suppose you could probably do that. I haven't heard any discussion about how we're going to get to that kind of a level of depth and sophistication. I'm not saying they're not, but I haven't heard that discussion yet. But that's exactly right. Or think of it this way. I'll even be annotating what the rate differences are for that systems engineer who's living in Kansas City versus one who's living in Birmingham, Alabama versus one who's living in Reston, Virginia, for example. Or no, you could have pretty wide variations, just given local cost of living and relative wages and so forth. Mm-hmm. So you're right. There are all kinds of annotations that would have to be included. And You know, and so I look at the idea of making more data available as part of a market research process. The fear I have, and I don't want, I'm not, in this case, I'm certainly not putting blame on 18F or GSA. I think the thing we all need to guard against is letting the data become the only market research we do. You know, it's sort of like if you think about past performance. It's one thing to have a company's past performance record that you're looking at and the company gets to comment and so forth and you go, that makes sense. But there's almost always going to be a need to follow up sometimes and have actual conversations with people and really dig a little deeper, have a little bit deeper market context and understanding. So that's where the limitations, I think, really lie. And I think some of the reaction, and this is not 18F's fault, but some of the reaction to calc.gov was, oh, now we now have a tool to tell you what you should pay. This has nothing to do with what you should pay. This is really an aggregation of data that's already publicly available.
Stan Soloway of the Professional Services Council, I understand your apprehension there because it strikes me it's the same apprehension that people have in industry about the FAR itself, which is that due to cultural reasons, not due to policy or procedure reasons, there's an understanding of what people think the FAR is or says or does or permits that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with actually what it does or says or permits. And so I can see why you might derive the same possibility, at least, happening at some point in time with calc.gov and the information that's on it.
I would actually put it slightly differently, Francis. I would look at the number of certifications that we're now beginning to, that we've seen over the last several years, require on contract. We've raised this issue for a number of years. So, for example, you have scores of, I should say, thousands of cases where contract requirements include earned value management systems, which have virtually no value in a fixed price services environment. I mean, you can imagine all kinds of circumstances where, for those who know what earned value management is, it has no relevance to what we're doing. But it makes, for whatever reason, it makes us, and I mean us in the royal us, feel better knowing that a company's EVM certified. It may have absolutely nothing to do with their ability to do the work at hand. And what I've referred to that in the past as management by abdication. We're turning it over to a certification. I think turning it over to data purely without a really well-trained workforce that really understands the nuances and complexities of real market research actually is a negative. I think the data itself is great. And I think if we can get it and get it right, it's a great tool. But history suggests is more than a fear. History suggests we will begin to lean on it more than we will good critical thinking and good common sense.
What would be the next iteration or generation or calc.gov 2.0 or whatever to include the information or data or context or whatever that you think would make it more useful in the context of what we've talked about so far in this conversation, Stan?
Well, I think calc.gov is doing exactly what intended to do, which is to provide an entry point where you can get, I guess, quicker and easier access to publicly available schedule prices. The next step would be, is going to be, the according to GSA, is going to be they're going to develop a true prices paid portal, which, number one, absolutely cannot be public because that will start divulging all kinds of proprietary information. And second is where you really get into the serious questions of how do I annotate the data in a way that's consistent and informative. And I think having a real discussion about how we take that next level of data availability and make it the kind of data that really informs good decision making, as opposed to being just data that doesn't give us the perspective we need, is really the next step that we need to take. And that's a collective conversation. What's been done thus far is really with calc.gov. Even if you look back at FB Open, which is another initiative that 18F did, these were straightforward, I don't think very controversial initiatives. When you start getting into the decision matrix and you start getting into areas that are not, you're not buying pencils here, I think we have to have a collective conversation about how do we actually build data with the proper kind of annotation. And by the way, what other steps should you be required to go through in addition to getting the data, separate from the database itself, to make good decisions?